I'm on the train going from Debrecen to Szolnok, and that Szolnok Damodar is going to pick me up and take me to Kecskemét, where I'll stay during the week, and I'll take a visit down to another city called Szeged, and then from there go back to Budapest. Indrajit Maharaj is coming for the weekend there, and I'll be meeting him there, staying there for the weekend, and then Niranjan Maharaj will also be visiting, coming down from New Rajadam, where he's been almost for a month trying to recuperate. His health is really bad. Just to underscore that, let me say it's really horrible. And so we're going to try if he can do a little exercise on Padayatra, since that may be very good for him. And of course, we'll make sure that it's not too strenuous. And then it's Janmashtami Vyas Puja, preceded by 3 days of Navaraja Mandal Parikrama, of which I really came to realize that I'm going to have my hands full during that time. Aside from introducing the whole parikrama during the morning program, there will be 3 hours of morning parikrama, 2 hours in the afternoon, then there will be also kirtans in the evening with Madhava Prabhu. So it's a really packed schedule by comparison to last year when I was laying sick in Kazakhstan. So I'll be happy if I'm able to do all of these things whilst chanting my rounds and deity worship. Right now we have a question from Nishanta Leela, who is in the UK doing Sankirtan somewhere. And she's writing, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto me and I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Sins have various reactions, parabdha, aparabdha, kuta, bij. If we still have inclination to sin or have material desires, is this because our surrender is not complete? Or is Krishna talking about a specific group of the reactions of our sins? For example, that we don't get the punishment that is awaiting us for our sins, but kuta, bij, parabdha might still be there. In brackets, because we can see that even surrendered devotees are fighting against their material desires, past habits. Also, the material body, which is a manifest reaction, is still there. I tried to address many of these points in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, but of course there's so much detail that can be spoken about these, and perhaps I'll give a little more detail. But aside from detail, there's also certain perspectives from which to approach it, depending on how one is defining surrender. But let me give what I believe to be the spectrum of surrender, and that begins, as Krishna here says, Mami Kam Sharanam Braja. Krishna tells Arjuna, just surrender to me. And that Sharanagati, as defined to us by the Acharyas, is Anyabhilashita Shunyam, is when we engage in devotional service not for sense gratification, not for liberation, but for Krishna's pleasure, and we completely place ourselves in Krishna's hands, despite the fact that we still have material desires, that we are still under the influence of the modes of material nature. But a devotee, due to good association, due to the strength that he receives from chanting the holy names and hearing Shastra, has this great desire to surrender in pure devotion. That is the beginning stage of surrender. And that surrender can be understood to be a process which can culminate in the surrender of the gopis, who even by comparison to other eternal associates of the Lord are superlative in their ability to just completely surrender everything for Krishna's welfare, even the pleasure of his association and service. So from the beginning stage till this stage, surrender is an ongoing process through which Krishna, aham tam sarva papebhyo, always protects a devotee. protects devotee from which type of sin? From all types of sins. We are fully and wholly in Krishna's hands when we fully and wholly desire to give ourselves to Him. That does not mean that bad habits are no longer there. It does not mean that we do not have material desires. It does not mean that the modes of material nature are still not working upon us. But despite these things, Krishna has taken personal control of our lives, and He's protected us from reward and punishment coming from the material energy, and taken that process of reward and punishment into His own hands. Sudama Vipra, when he returned from Dwarka and saw the great palace that Krishna had created for him, explains that Krishna is very careful, that he never gives things to his devotee that will be unbeneficial for his spiritual life. That means that Krishna's management of a devotee's spiritual life is always for a devotee's benefit. Therefore, in order to keep reminding conditioned souls that the material world is a miserable place, in order to inspire us to advance in Krishna consciousness, and in order to maintain our material body, which is in itself necessary for the execution of devotional service, and is also a byproduct of past activities. It's a product of our karma. Krishna manages all these things in such a way that if we're in the right consciousness, we will always have His shelter, protection, and will thus advance in devotional service. Narada Muni, in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, says, Chaktva Svadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harir. In that shloka, he explains that if even devotees step outside of the shelter of Krishna, they are living under such circumstances, also arranged by Krishna. The memory of their past devotional service and association with devotees, that even they can't be categorized as being ordinary conditioned souls. They no longer live like conditioned souls, even though they may have reverted to performing sinful activity. And of course, a nice example of that is Ajamil, that despite the fact that he became a sinner due to his past devotional activities, he was inclined to chant the Lord's holy name. Krishna remembered him and ultimately delivered him. So, because we are under Krishna's protection, doesn't necessarily mean that the challenges of spiritual life are over, namely the temptations from material energy, the temptation of material desires, the fighting of bad habits. That is part of sadhana bhakti, and that is what Krishna wants us to see. Are we willing to fight our own Kurukshetra for Him? Otherwise, were He just to wipe all of these things free, then simply one positive thought and mood of surrender would immediately equate to liberation. But it's not like that. That desire for pure devotional service and surrender to Krishna is enough to attract Krishna and to get Krishna's shelter and protection. But we still have to struggle through the process of sadhana bhakti to the stage of sadhya or perfection. And we have to show Krishna that we really, really want Him. We don't want some kind of quick fix, some cheap formula for perfection, but we're willing to take responsibility for the things that we have said and done in the past, and that is reflected in the verse, Tattena Kampam Sushimikshamano. But Krishna is so kind that if we adopt that type of attitude, He then minimizes many of these reactions and measures out or dulls out those reactions in a way that is conducive for our spiritual life. But we have to remain in a surrendered condition, and surrendered condition means remembering Krishna's instructions, staying in the association of Vaishnavas. The example that also comes to mind is particularly of Arjuna, who received this instruction, Sarvadharma Parityaja. Arjuna, when he returned from Dwarka after Krishna's disappearance, was really despondent. Bhagavatam states that he was covered despair, moroseness, and such apparently material qualities. But still, he says, when he remembered Krishna's instructions to him on the battlefield of Bhagavad Gita, then his heart became free from all of these types of dirt. Of course, Arjuna's heart is never dirty. It's always pure. But nonetheless, casting ourselves in his position, we can see that even through the practice of devotional service, circumstances may sometimes overcome us and bewilder us. But surrendering to Krishna means taking shelter of Krishna's instruction. When we take shelter of Krishna's instruction, then we are reinstated in that liberated and fully protected condition. And that is Krishna's protection. Krishna's protection is that for devotees, he will always remind them to surrender, to take shelter. He won't force them, but he's always there as a super soul in the heart. He's always there through the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. Devotees will not revert to material life just one minute to the next and without warning. If they do so, it's because they're very adamant and very stubborn that they want to go back. And then as we go through the stages of devotional service, and ultimately the heart really becomes free from all desires, from all bad habits, then devotees live in a constant state of full dependence on Krishna. Why? Because they never forget Krishna. They're always absorbed in Krishna's remembrance. And remembering Krishna is tantamount to surrendering to him. However, even those devotees, even Krishna's eternally liberated associates, they're always in situations within this world and even in the spiritual world where it appears that they are acting, enjoying and suffering as a consequence of their karma. The Pandavas are the Lord's eternal associates, and yet they go through so many different types of tribulations. Bhishma Dev, when he's lying on the bed of arrows, he says, how is this possible that you're the personal associates of the Lord and yet you're beset by so many calamities? I think that this is only a product of supreme will. Nanda Maharaj, when Uddhava is departing, also sees karma bir brahmibhananam. He says, we may wander throughout this universe as a consequence of our karma, but let us not forget Krishna. So in order to enhance the mood of Naralila, Krishna's pastimes as a human being, then Krishna's associates and even sometimes Krishna appears to be getting the benefit of his past karma. But that's appearances only. Actually, it's the workings of Krishna's Lila Shakti, his pastime potency. Thus we can see that whether we are novices at the stage of pure surrender and pure devotion, or someone is perfected, the same dynamics is taking place, the same appearances are there as part of Krishna conscious life. But how it's happening and why it's happening will vary according to the level advancement of the individual. So when Krishna says, I'll save you from sinful reaction, we should not think that we end up in some type of never-never land where nothing is happening, nothing is taking place, and living entities are saved from the excitement of action and reaction. No. Pastime means that things take place and there is a system of cause and effect. But it is divine cause and effect. And that divine cause and effect has its very initial stages at the stage of first surrender to Krishna, at the stage of Sharanagati. So let's all surrender to Krishna, stay on that path of surrender, and whatever circumstance Krishna wants to put us in, then we should remember Srila Prabhupada's words. I'm just like a puppet in your hands. Make me dance as you like. That is the mood of pure devotees, and that is the mood of the servant of the pure devotees, is the mood that the servants of pure devotees cultivate. Hare Krishna.